This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. This story has multiple parts. To listen to the entire story in one place, visit talltaletv.com/series. Of Bandits and Bad Magic by Leslie Herron. Chapter 22, Cryptomeria. Plink! The sound of a tiny object bouncing off the metal bars echoed through the still of the subterranean caverns. Eric, with an eager grin, watched the small orb of shadows roll to a stop in the walkway and evaporate into a puff of black smoke.
Ha!
Despite his initial misgivings, magic, it would seem, was more math than mysticism. In his own world's model of physics, there were four fundamental forces: gravitation, electromagnetism, and the weak and strong force. They controlled literally everything that happens in his universe. But this reality had a fifth, which somehow governed the other four. It was like having a back door to hack the base code of reality. And the odd sigils that he had seen Atlas use from time to time were one way of focusing intent and precisely altering that code.
Good. Do it again.
Eric returned his attention to the moldy pages of his newly acquired Tome of Magic. He couldn't read the book on his own. It was written in an ancient scrawl, but Wraith was more than happy to help him decipher it. Between the two of them, and several long days of exhausting work, he had managed to learn a lot. Well, a lot of theory, that is. As far as practical magics, he was still working on the bare basics. Eric relaxed his mind and stared at a pool of shadow on the ground before him. He reached out with his index finger and hooked it into the edge of the darkness, drawing it downwards like putty. He swirled it round and round, pulling more from the surrounding shadows, condensing it into a coin-sized circle. It grew darker with each new layer of shadow he forced into it, until it began to resemble a miniature black hole. In his mind, Eric tugged gently at the piece of himself that was attached to Wraith, and together they poured a small fraction of his soul, or shade, into the shadows. It inflated, rising like a balloon, until he held a marble-sized ball of solid darkness in his hand. He didn't bother hiding his excitement or his pride as he pulled the orb closer to his face. He chuckled as he turned the marble over and over.
I think I'm getting the hang of this.
The angry sigh coming from the other side of the cell caused his concentration to falter, and the orb dissipated into mist. Eric dropped his hand with a huff and looked up. Pyra, having spent the last several days pacing the length of their cell that her ankle chain would allow, snorted as she folded her arms across her chest.
I don't see why you're celebrating. Unless you can form a key out of those shadows to get us out of here, you're as useless as this one.
She gestured with a lazy flick of her wrist towards the prince.
We need a spell to make her be quiet.
Eric slammed shut the book. The days and nights had dragged on in the wake of the queen's sour mood. The entire first day of their capture, she had berated them all until she lost her voice. A welcome relief, but she simply turned on the prince and shouted at him in sign language until he was on the verge of tears.
I'm trying, okay? I'm not a master arcanist.
Atlas gave a muffled chuckle from behind the iron mask that prevented him from speaking. Having learned from their mistakes, their captors had neutered his ability to speak and to cast, locking his hands in iron mitts to prevent any form of magic. But watching the other man struggle to perform basic shadow puppet art, He found the idea of the false king becoming even a low-level mage laughably insulting.
I expect this ineptitude from Varin, and not from someone who claims to be my husband's twin from a different world.
Pyra glared at him for a moment, her amber eyes boring into him.
You could fill her lungs with darkness. That would keep her quiet.
Appalled, Eric pulled a face in horror.
Wraith? No!
Evan dropped the sliver of stone he had been using to try and pick the lock on his own ankle cuff and turned to face the queen.
Why are you so up in his grill, lady?
Pyra's eyes squinted into dangerous slits at the informal address, and she turned her attention to the small child.
I don't know what you just said.
Evan stood, moving to the end of his chain tether.
Why are you so mean?
He gestured to the prince.
What has he ever done?
Pyra admired the way someone so small could behave so tough.
Nothing.
She looked over at her brother-in-law with a sour smile.
He did nothing in his time on the throne, whilst my husband, his brother, was at war. Nothing when Elias begged for more troops. Nothing when the king vanished, and he did nothing when Lucien declared him unfit to rule and took control of the country for himself.
Her face twisted with rage as she glared at the prince.
Oh, but he did sign a decree stating that no woman could rule in the absence of a king.
She clasped her hands together in a mocking, grateful gesture.
Thank you for that, by the way.
Varin's eyes dropped as he lowered his head. The guilt that normally ate at him, that had lessened in his time with his new companions, returned to him in a rush. It filled him with a pain in his chest that hammered into his heart. There was no use in defending himself. She was right. It didn't matter that he had no idea what he was signing. He had trusted his half-brother like the fool he was, and paid dearly for the price. On the verge of tears once more, he slumped back into his corner, sluggishly signing the word, sorry. Pyra curled her lips into a snarl as she replied to his simple apology with a flurry of hand gestures that even the most skilled in sign language would have trouble interpreting. Unable to keep up with her speed, Evan frowned. He couldn't understand half of what she was saying, but he got enough to get the gist.
Hey! Cut it out! Leave him alone!
Undine let out a soft sigh as she peeked open one eye. Her queen was hurling insults at the speed of a rapid-fire crossbow. She hid her chuckle and turned to the prince.
She says you are not forgiven, and you sign like a half-literate fishmonger.
Eric tried his best to ignore the constant arguing around him, focusing instead on forming another shape. Instead of a circle, he pulled the shadow into a short line, using his fingernail to carve out prongs at the end like a key. He poured shade into it, forming it into a solid object. The shape failed to hold, and he turned over a lumpy, carrot-like shadow in his hand. He sighed.
Still, progress was progress. If he managed to master the spell, he could save the process into a sigil, like the way Atlas did, making it immensely easier to cast. But until then, he was stuck doing things the hard way.
At the eruption of arguing and petty name-calling, Eric looked up in time to see Varin holding Evan back while Pyra rolled her eyes and walked back to her corner. He was beginning to have his doubts about agreeing to work with the queen when the strident tone of metal against metal clapped out like thunder, reverberating off the stone walls and low ceiling, creating a deafening silence in its wake. They turned to see Rassizi, watching them from the other side of the metal bars. She lowered her weapon as a smile curled around her tusks.
The Bandit Queen has arrived from the south.
She turned towards the stairs, stepping back.
Behave yourselves.
A beam of light spilled out from the carved passage to the side, reaching across the dark interior of the prison, illuminating the other cells that had been carved into the remains of the dried-up aquifer. Thump, thump, thump. A long, broad shadow stretched across the warm glow, moving in time with the ominous sound of metal tapping rhythmically on the stone floor.
Well, well, well. I never thought I'd live to see this day.
The hoarse voice cracked through the silence, followed by a deep chuckle. The shadow lengthened to fill the entirety of the orange light, casting a silhouette of an imposing figure, wide as a barn and tall as Grunch. But as they neared the end of the hallway, it began to shrink. Smaller and smaller the shadow became, until the darkness gave way to an absolutely minute figure.
You done good, Rassizi.
The figure came to a stop at the orc's shins and looked into the cage. Eric's mouth dropped. Standing on the other side of the bars was a small woman, the same height as Evan, though several times wider. She had thick black hair tied up into a tight bun on her head, absurdly long ears, and a toad-like grin filled with two rows of razor-sharp teeth, a few of them gold. Even though she had olive-green skin, she bore an unmistakable resemblance to a certain greedy shop owner his brother had once introduced him to.
Granny?
Evan moved as close to the bars as his chain would allow. The goblin took one look at the small, pale creature and snorted through her pug nose at him.
Shut up, kid. I ain't your granny.
She looked past the small creature and into the faces of the others in the cell. From the arcanist, impotent in his bindings, to a large, sullen bear, muzzled and shackled, fast asleep against the bound mage, and back to the tiny dwarf, who was still staring at her expectantly. On the other side of the room, was that the prince and the queen? What a haul! Her eyes moved to the long-lost king, and she could understand where her prized pupil had made the mistake. She turned away from the cell and looked up at the orc beside her.
That ain't the king.
Eric pushed his book back into his bag with a wail of relief.
Oh, finally!
Rassizi squinted into the darkness of the cell. He had the same shock of white hair, the same pale blue eyes, and even though he was a little scruffier than described, this had to be the right man. There simply weren't that many half-elves, let alone any that were a perfect match.
He has to be. Look at him.
The goblin stepped away from the bars and pulled a long pipe from her robes. With a snap, a small flame sparked to life at the end of one bony finger. She coaxed it into the end of her pipe, puffing the cinders until she could take a long pull of smoke. She exhaled slowly through her nostrils.
Trust me, kid. Me and the king go way back. I'd recognize that two-timing backstabber anywhere.
Scandalized, Pyra scrambled to find the words, but she struggled to decide what distressed her more, that her husband had been associated with such a foul creature, or that this goblin had recognized the imposter faster than she had. Rassizi, filled with the rage of embarrassment, growled low in her throat.
I have failed you, Sabine. Don't sell yourself short, kid.
The Bandit Queen ran her long fingers down across her rounded face, stroking her chin for a moment as she stared back into the cage.
He might not be the king, but he sure does look an awful lot like him. With the uncrowned queen and disgraced prince, he could be quite useful. You did real good, Rassizi. Maybe we use him to send a message.
Rassizi grinned and raised her weapon meaningfully. There was a flash of movement, and Ondine's hand snapped closed around the blade of the orc's weapon. But before she could wrench it away, Rassizi tightened her grip enough on the handle to hold on. Ondine pulled, forcing the orc closer. Close enough that she was able to reach out and grab her by the neck and pull her face against the bars. She bared her teeth with a rage-filled snarl.
Torchair, and I will break you in two!
Rassizi placed her boot against the barrier and pushed back, her powerful leg muscles easily breaking the dryad's grip. With a jerk, she pulled her sword free from the woman's grasp and glared.
Watch yourself, wood sprite!
She spat on the ground in her direction.
I have burned hundreds of your kind. You will be no different.
Sabine took in another long pull from her pipe, letting the smoke roll out of her mouth through her smile.
Ah, but she is. This here is War God Ondine, the Ironbreaker.
She barked another dry laugh.
She's no local twigling. Ondine's a foreign dryad from the Enshrined Wilds, appointed bodyguard to the Folkgrave bloodline, with an impressive body count. Even you, Rassizi, would be bested by her skills.
Ondine ignored the bristling orc and gave the goblin a small nod of acknowledgement instead.
Sabine, doing well, I see?
The bandit queen chuckled and sucked on the end of her pipe for several long moments before a thought occurred.
What are you doing protecting the queen? The prince is Elias's next of kin.
Pyra shot a dirty look in Varen's direction.
I choose the one who holds his heart, not his blood. I have vowed to protect her highness in the king's absence. Nothing shall befall her while I draw breath.
Ondine turned her gaze back to the orc.
So tell me again what you plan to do to me?
Rassizi snorted, running her tongue along her broken tusk.
Enshrined wilds or not, I'll chop you down for firewood.
Ondine gave a shrill laugh.
I would like to see you try.
Having seen enough peacocking and wised what would come next, Eric jumped to his feet and moved towards them. He reached out to separate them, but was tugged to a stop by the chain around his ankle.
Whoa, 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 ladies! Look, there's no need to resort to violence.
Sabine let out a bark of laughter, smoke billowing out from between her sharp teeth.
Ha ha! More proof you ain't the lost king!
Eric turned to the small goblin, his hands falling open in a pleading gesture.
Exactly. I'm not. So there's no reason to keep us. We haven't done anything to you.
His brows knit together.
Just let us go?
Moving closer to the bars, Sabine jabbed at the false king's shins with her walking stick.
Let you go? No, no, no. I might not be fooled, but everyone else will be. And I have half a mind to lop all your heads off.
She paused and looked to the queen and the prince in turn.
With the entire royal family dead, Lucian can't claim regency for his poor, mute half-brother. The council would have to convene and name a new royal family, one that I might be able to work with.
She took a step back.
As for the rest of yous, I should feed you to the hellhounds for the trouble you've caused me and my armies.
Eric swallowed hard. The last thing he wanted was to become dog food. He sucked in a deep breath before he found his courage.
You're right. Everyone will assume I'm the king. So why chance having some random guy take the throne who may or may not work with you when I most definitely will?
Sabine tapped out the burnt ash from her pipe before tucking it back into her robes. She leaned against her walking stick as she shook her head.
You're more convincing as a corpse. Besides, I've had nothing but bad luck making deals with you Folkgraves.
She gave an errant wave of her hand.
Rassizi, chop their heads off.
Rassizi grinned and slowly raised her sword.
Wait!
Eric moved as close as he could, his fingers wrapping around the bars.
I'm not a Folkgrave. I wouldn't betray you, even if I thought I could.
Evan nodded his agreement. He ain't lying. Rassizi tightened her grip on her weapon, the grin on her face slowly fading. Eric, sputtering now at the thought of decapitation, threw his hands towards Pyra and Varen.
And with these two vouching for me, I could return to the kingdom and retake the throne from this Lucian guy. And then you have a man on the inside to help you get whatever it is that you want.
Pyra was on her feet.
I will not trade my own safety for the well-being of my people.
She marched forward, ready to protest this ridiculous plan further when the prince pulled her back a step. She looked at him, her anger flaring up once more, but stopped as he signed the words wait and idea. Sabine ran her long fingers across her chin once more.
Color me intrigued, kid. I'll give you a chance to make your case. Fail to convince me, and we go with my idea. What could you offer me in return for your life?
Eric fumbled. He hadn't planned this far ahead.
Gold?
Sabine shook her head.
Nah, I got plenty of that.
Land.
Ha! Anything the government doesn't patrol is already mine.
Indoor plumbing?
Sabine frowned.
What's that? You know what? Never mind. You got one more shot. Then it's chopping time.
Eric scanned the cell, looking around for anything, anything to offer this woman, when he heard the tapping of chalk on slate. Varen approached the bars, holding up a message. Citizenship. The tiny goblin's ears perked up as a dangerous grin unfurled across her face.
Go on.
Pyra nodded. It was something that churned her stomach, but he had a point. This, at least, she could get behind.
We shall grant you full citizenship of Ebra. You will no longer be a lesser individual. You may purchase property and take part in the economy without fear of imprisonment.
Sabine raised a brow.
You know, your dear husband promised me that exact same thing.
She waved her hand dismissively.
By rights, I am already owed what you now offer.
Varen shook his head, tapping out a clarification to his previous message. He turned the slate back over, revealing the words, "Citizenship, for all twisted." The goblin's eyes went wide.
Deal!
She extended her hand, ready to shake on it. Pyra realized too late what had been written.
No, I would rather die here!
She pulled the prince back away from the bars. Eric raised an eyebrow.
Why not? It's a brilliant idea.
Because they're monsters.
Sabine narrowed her eyes as she dropped her hand.
Watch your tongue.
Evan chimed in.
I thought they were just followers of the goddess Diara that got twisted by her evil lover.
Varen beamed at his tiny mentor and nodded. Pyra fumed.
Be that as it may, They are all thieves and murderers. I will not allow criminals to walk among my citizens.
Eric frowned.
I've been here like a month, and even I know that's not true. Hell, we even traveled with a group of Twisted for a time. Most criminals only turn to crime because of poverty and a lack of options.
Sabine stared up at the false king, taking in his words before she turned back to face the prince and the queen.
He makes a fair point. Without any income, my people would still be considered second-class citizens. I want them to have a chance. I want jobs for all.
Varen nodded, scrawling a new message. Paid military service for any who wish it. An afterthought occurred to him, and he added, and farmland. Pyra looked near tears, but no one would side with her.
Undine, please!
She paused, turning to plead with her guardian.
Help me explain to them that this is a horrible idea.
The dryad looked down at her tentatively.
I agree with them. And so did Elias. He always felt they could be an asset to the kingdom.
No longer able to hold back her tears, Pyra stared, open-mouthed at her guardian. She had learned more about her husband in a 5-minute conversation than she had in the 50 years he had been missing. She stood there in silence, struggling to find her strength. She swallowed her tears and turned away.
Then, very well.
She slid back into the darkness of her corner to find a way to cope with the realization. Varen watched her back away and then glanced down to the message he had written. Had he mucked up another situation for the queen? Sabine clapped her hands together and cackled.
Rassizi, unshackle our friends here and go get Akaz. We got a contract to draw up.
Of Bandits and Bad Magic is book 3 of the ongoing series by Leslie Herron. Tune in every few weeks to hear the latest chapter as it's being written. If you'd like to listen to books 1 and 2, you can find links in the description.
He's good now, yes? Sign!
I don't know. Evan?
I'm still not happy with Subarticle 7, paragraph 34b.
Gee! No! Just sign. Akaz tired.
He's got a point, Akaz. You must be slipping if he can spot your loopholes that easily. Though I gotta admit, I've never met someone that could grift on Akaz's level before. Kid's got skill.
Gee, thanks, Granny.
I ain't your granny.
Bad little man. Sign.
Akaz so tired.